Get Out is grouped as a comedy? Interesting.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. And today's Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast is also brought to you by Draft. Use the promo code LOFANTASY to get a free entry into a draft with your first deposit. My name is Josh Lloyd, lead fantasy analyst over at BasketballMonster.com. And you can find me, as always, on Twitter at redrock_beeble. You can check out all things related to the podcast at lockedonfantasybasketball.com and all of our fantasy projections for season-long leagues and DFS over at basketballmonster.com. We're going to talk about the seven games that went down on Tuesday and then preview a decently busy nine-game Wednesday in the NBA. So
let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. We will start off with the monstrous line of the night.
Porzingis.
Yep. Kristaps Porzingis, he was huge for the New York Knicks against the LA Lakers. 37 points for Porzingis with 11 rebounds. He had 5 threes and 5 blocks, had a steal, was 14 of 26 from the field, 4 of 5 from the line. It just looked like at times he wasn't going to miss. He's the 13th ranked player over the course of the season. He's been a little bit down over the last month, just 28th over that time frame, but averaging a ridiculous 26 and 7 with 2.2 blocks and 2 triples, and has upped his efficiency with that increased usage. His usage has gone from 24 last year to over 35 this season, and he's seen his true shooting rise from 54.5 up to 57. So that's, you know, significant increases in field goal percentage from 45 to 46, 3-point percentage from 36 to 40, and he's taken his free throws up from 79 to 85%. So an increase in efficiency in every category. You pair that with the increased usage, and that's why he's seen his numbers bump up so significantly this season and been an absolute monster. If you took him in that second round range, in that top 20 range, which is where he should have gone in most leagues, he's providing great return on investment for that spot at the moment, really putting up some huge numbers. And look, the efficiency could drop. That could definitely happen. We might see a fall in his field goal percentage. We might see a dip in his three-point percentage. I think the three-point percentage is probably a likely dip, considering he's at 40%, maybe that drops, you know, 2% or so. But otherwise, I think he's a fairly decent lock for a top 20 player for the rest of the season. Speaking of locks, you guys should be looking at draft.com as your go-to daily fantasy app. You should be locking that in, because your chances of winning on Draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites. That's why Draft is, or it should be, your new favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just me. More than 1 million people have downloaded Draft as well. Play in a real live NBA draft right now and be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. But to do that, you have to use my promo code, which is LOFANTASY. That's right. Play in a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LOFANTASY. Draft is unlike other salary cap sites. You do snake drafts. So it's just like your seasonal league, except you're doing it on a daily basis. It gets even better than the free entry into a real cash contest, because Draft is so sure that you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Fantasy Basketball listeners a money-back guarantee of up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now with that promo code LOFANTASY. So go check out our good friends at Draft for Locked On Draft Wednesday as well. You'll see the Locked On leagues in the lobby. Go and take on other Locked On listeners and Locked On hosts across our podcast network. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Trevor Booker, now of the Philadelphia 76ers. Booker had 12 and 5, added 5 assists, had 2 steals and a block, and was 6 of 8 from the field. And since arriving in Philadelphia, he's been good. In fact, in those 3 games, he's the 36th ranked player in fantasy, playing 22 minutes a night, averaging 13 and 7 with a steal, a block, and shooting 65 and 91 from the field. But if you want to look at those numbers in isolation, it will be to your detriment. And I'll tell you why. 2 of those games have been without Joel Embiid. 2 of those games have been without Robert Covington. So we don't know how Booker's going to fit into the rotation. Now, today what we saw without Covington, Dario Saric moved across to the three and Rashawn Holmes started at the four, giving Trevor Booker those backup minutes at the four there and Amir Johnson playing some backup 5 minutes. But when Covington's back, when Markel Fultz returns in a few weeks' time, does Booker remain in the rotation at all? I would have to think he would, and Timotei Luwawu-Cabarrah will probably come out. But A, he's not going to play 21 minutes a night. I can assure you of that. And B, he's not going to shoot 65% from the field, nor is he going to shoot 91% from the free throw line, which is what he's done in his three games in Philadelphia. He's a 63% shooter from the line for the season and 53% from the field. So the efficiency is going to dip. So maybe if he got 15 minutes a night, you could get 7-4 out of him. And that's going to be nowhere near where you need him to be. So it's been a great start to his time. Minutes unsustainable. Shooting percentages from the field unsustainable. Shooting percentages from the free throw line also unsustainable. And the block rate, he's had 3 blocks in 3 games. For the season, he's averaging under half a block a game. That's not going to continue either. So there's, big numbers and you go, shit, man, this is fantastic. Look at these numbers. They're awesome. But there's things that you look at. And this is what I'm trying to always teach you guys. Look at what doesn't make sense. And the block rate doesn't make sense. He's never been a high shot blocker. He's never been a guy that hits 90% of his free throws. He's never been a guy that hits 65% of his field goals. And try and work out realistically how he's going to play 21 minutes a night when Covington returns and when then Fultz returns in a few weeks' time. And the answer is he won't. He just won't be able to play those minutes unless Amir Johnson is eliminated from the rotation or Rashawn Holmes is eliminated from the rotation. Or maybe even both of them, which seems an unlikely thing. So you could be fooled by looking at his numbers, and you could look at his last month and go, he's 118th over the last month, Josh, and some of that is not these games without Embiid. Yeah, but that's when he was playing in Brooklyn. And again, he's doing it in 22 minutes a night, shooting to 10-6 on 56% shooting, when realistically his only positive category there is marginally rebounds and field goal percentage. So while 118, Mike, are you, well, that's a 12-team league guy. It's not to me. Yeah, until Covington comes back, maybe you can stream him in, but I can 100% assure you the blocks won't continue, the field goal percentage won't continue, and the free throw percentage won't continue. They just won't. And that's going to knock his value down pretty damn quickly. Onto the young gun of the night. Yeah, it's Joel Embiid. 28-12 with 8 assists, a 3 and a block, 8 of 16 from the field, and 12 trips to the free throw line where he hit 11 of them. The biggest thing I think here, though, is the fact that he played 39 minutes. It's done, guys. It's over for everybody with this in terms of his fantasy value. There is no such thing as a minutes restriction on Joel Embiid anymore. Yeah, he will miss some games with the back-to-backs, but I think the next one or two sets of back-to-backs he will play. Maybe limited minutes in those games. Maybe he plays 28 in both of those games. That's a possibility. He has played over 30 minutes a game so far this season. In his last month, he has played 33 minutes a night. In his last 5 games, he has played 35 minutes a night. There is no minutes restriction for Joel Embiid at all. It is done. He is going to be a top 10 player this year. He's 11th so far, 8th over the last month. He's going to be a top 10 guy from here on out. I don't think you should have any real concerns about that. Of course, the injury still hangs over his head, the injury risk. He's only played the 22 games. He's missed 5 or 6 games so far this season, which is not a bad result. If you get 70 games out of him, though, he's a guy that I said in the offseason, he's going to swing leagues. If you draft him in that third round, he could very easily win you the league, or it could be a complete waste if he gets injured and plays 25 minutes a night and plays 30 games. Like, that could kill you. But at the moment, picking him in the third round, get a top 10 guy in the third round, that's a pretty decent start to building a strong fantasy team, and that's how it's all looking for the process Joel Embiid at the moment. The dud of the night. I tell a man's not hot. Avery Bradley. 6 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist. 2 of 10 from the field and 2 of 2 from the free throw line. I was massively down on Avery Bradley coming into the season based on what he did in Boston last year. I couldn't have said that enough. I didn't think he'd suck as badly as what he has at the moment. I knew the rebounding was going to come down. He was never going to average 6 boards a game like he did last season. I also didn't think he'd come down to 2.5 per game. And over his last 2 weeks, he's at 1.5 rebounds per game, just not active there at all, and doesn't need to be given the way the Pistons play. But in conjunction with that, his shooting percentages is way down. 46% last year and 39% from three. He's at 42 and 41 this season. So the 3-pointers are actually up this year. Sorry. I misread that one, but what I'm going to look at is over the last 2 weeks, he's at 39% from the field and 33% from three. If you are in a 10-team league, I don't think that you need to own Avery Bradley. I think that he is probably going to finish the season outside the top 100, probably outside the top 120 is a decent expectation. So in a 10-team league, done. The minutes are fine, but he's just not doing anything. It's just, and it's the way that he is being used. It's the difference in style of the team with rebounding. And look, his percentages will rebound from what he's been doing these last couple of weeks, but it's not enough for me to label him a must-own guy. There'll be guys on your waiver wire, and Caris LeVert will be there. Add him. Someone will have dropped Nick Batum. I'd rather have Nick Batum even with the elbow uncertainty than Avery Bradley, to be honest, at the moment. Yeah, Jez Lamb, in case Batum is hurt, yeah, adding one of those guys is definitely something that I would do over Avery Bradley. And to be honest, in a 12-team league, it's getting pretty bloody close to me saying, well, you know what, I'd rather just open up that spot. If he's my worst player on my roster, probably rather have a streaming spot. I just don't see any sort of semblance of top 70 upside from Avery Bradley this season. He has struggled for reasons that were, some of them were predictable, and some of them weren't. Like, I didn't think the shooting would drop off this much, but I thought the rebounding was would, but not, again, not to this degree where we're currently seeing him sit. It's been a disappointing time for the Pistons and Avery Bradley, especially the Pistons of late, as they have not been ideal with their performances recently. And it's going to be interesting free agency for Avery Bradley next season to see whether the Pistons actually do end up retaining him. What I'm going to do now is we're going to head into the games, all seven of them from Tuesday, and break those down in a little bit more detail. So let's get stuck into that right now. All right, that first game does involve the Detroit Pistons. It's the Denver Nuggets. They took apart the Detroit Pistons. A very, very comfortable victory. There was no Nikola Jokic, and weirdly, there was no Ken Faried, who'd been starting at center, and instead he went to the bench, and then instead of going to the bench, he went out of the rotation entirely. Another one of the Mike Malone weird decisions that gets made. You know, I'm not a massive fan of Faried. You've heard me say that time and time again. I didn't expect for him to go from playing 28 minutes a night to being a DMP CD. That's Fred Hoiberg levels of rotational justification. Mason Plumlee started. He had 10 and 13 in his 29 minutes. Not a 12-teamer. Ken Faried, not a 12-teamer. The other guy who is getting really interesting is Trey Lyles, who had 20 points in 27 minutes, three threes on a perfect 7 of 7 shooting. Won't shoot that well, we know that. Defensive numbers are an issue, and there is going to be a crunch. Jokic will return, Faried will surely get back into the rotation at some point. So Lyles is more a 16-team guy, maybe a 14-team league guy, but he's been decently impressive. An interesting game from Gaz Harris. Nice, Gary! Only 8 points, but 6 boards, 9 assists, and 4 steals, bringing it in some other areas, while the Blue Arrow had 28, 4, and 3 with 4 triples. If Jamal Murray's on your waiver wire and you've got Avery Bradley, that's an immediate switch to me. I would get Jamal over Avery Bradley any day of the week. I hope that we can get some consistency in playing time for Jamal, because that's not Malone's strongest suit. But I've liked what I've seen from him recently. Farton Will Barton hurt his back late on it's called a back contusion. He struggled. Weirdly, he'd been playing like 44, 45 minutes and really, you know, dominating things. He took 5 shots in 34 minutes in this one. So he can be, he's an inconsistent player, and that's part of the reason why I've been a little bit on the fence over him. 34 minutes, 4 points, but then 6 rebounds, 10 assists, a steal and a block. So nice numbers. This doesn't look to be a long-term problem, so I'd still hold on to him. Baby Neck Wilson Chandler started off okay and scored 18 points, but he's one of those guys that's just really limited upside. Doesn't do enough in the rebounding, doesn't steal, block, assist, doesn't do anything there. So he had 18 points. That looks nice, shot the ball well, but there's just nothing else happening in those other areas, and he's not a 10-team league guy for sure. He's fine in 12s, but he's far from a guy that is a must-own player. Malik Beasley is starting to come up, 8-4 in 24 minutes. That's more a deep league one, but he is pushing his way ahead of Manny Mudiay and Juancho Hernangómez. On to the Pistons. Stan Johnson was removed from the starting lineup and then didn't play at all in the first half. He was replaced by Reggie Bullock, who didn't really do a huge amount. He did have 3 steals in his 18 minutes. Reggie Jackson seemed a little bit discouraged by the fact that Stan was taken out of the starting lineup. Johnson's not a guy that does anything for fantasy anyway. He had 1 rebound in 14 minutes. So even if you were owning him in 16-team leagues, you can probably end up moving on if he's going to remain on the bench. I think he probably will for at least a short amount of time. Toby Harris was terrible, 2 points in 30 minutes. Drummond played 27 minutes, had 5 and 10, and he wasn't good either. But the person that people are going to ask the questions about is Boban Marjanovic, who had 14 points in 13 minutes and 5 rebounds, and he just does what he does. He got to the line, he scores in really easy fashion, gets rebounds on a really high per minute level. And someone asked the question today on Basketball Monster, do we go and add him? Is he going to play 20 minutes a night now? And the answer to that is a categorical no. He is not going to play 20 minutes a night, because for him to play 20 minutes a night, Andre Drummond would then need to play at maximum 28 minutes. At maximum. That's not going to happen. And it would also mean that we don't get any of the tackle box at center. We don't get any Tone Tolliver at center. We don't get any Eric Morland at center. And those things just aren't going to happen. I don't think Boban's going to play every single night. He worked well in this one. But it's not going to be an every night phenomenon. You're in a 20-team league, an 18-team league, add Boban, sure. But it's not going to be an every night thing. He's not. If this happens, if he plays 20 minutes a night, I will be that stunned. I don't know what I'm going to do, because I'm going to shave my beard if Jason Tatum continues to hit 50% of his threes this season. If Boban Marjanovic plays 20 minutes a night from here on out, I don't know what I'll do. There's got to be something. I don't even know. There's got to be something, because it's not going to happen. There is no way that he is going to play 20 minutes a night plus from here on out. This whole Pistons box score is just a disaster. It was a disaster of a game. Reggie Jackson played his 25 minutes. He had 12 and 4. He was always going to get more minutes after being limited in the last one. So you never panic in that case, but it was just an absolute shit show from the Pistons in general. The next game, the Atlanta Hawks and the Cleveland Cavaliers. I said it yesterday. Kent Bazemore, for whatever reason, always goes off against Cleveland. 20 points, 6 triples, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. That is a huge night from Baze. Huge. He'll just as likely score 8 points on 14 shots with nothing in the next game, but he does have to be owned, as does the artist formerly known as Taurean Prince. Formerly played 30 minutes and had a career-high 24 points. He had 7 rebounds. He had 6 assists, and he was 8 of 10 from the field and a perfect 6 of 6 from the line. He is owned in under 60% of Yahoo leagues, and that is an abominably low number. He needs to be owned in all leagues. I don't really understand caution in adding him. Or like people are going, is Prince really a Mustang guy? Look, he's a 78th ranked player this season. That's sort of about where we had him projected, around that 80 to 100 mark this year. I don't see why he's not going to be able to do that. In fact, I probably need to look at what he's doing in terms of his shooting and bump up his shooting percentages in the Basketball Monster projections, because he's outperforming them. 45% from the field, 48% over the last month, 42% from three, 40% there over the last month. He's really starting to look quite solid in what he does, and the minutes aren't going anywhere. He's a solid wing rebounder, gets steals, over half a block a game, almost 2 threes. He needs to be owned. In every 12-team league, he needs to be owned. In every 14-team, of course, in 10-team leagues, I'll probably look at owning him in most of those. He's been pretty much as good as you could have expected. The Hawks made a change to their starting lineup. The Baptist wasn't back, but they did change the starting center. Miles Plumlee went to the bench, and Tyler Cavanagh played 29 minutes and had 11 and 9. You know what? If you're in a 16-team league, I'd be happy adding Cavanagh. I reckon there's a distinct chance that when Collins and Deadman come back, that Cavanagh will play over Muscala, and he will play over Ersan Ilyasova and Miles Plumlee. I reckon you might have him as the third big. Collins, Deadman, Cavanagh, and then Lukey Babbitt. I reckon that's a significant chance. He's not going to play 29 a night, but he's shown an ability to hit a three. He can rebound. Deeper leagues, I'd be adding him. As for Babbitt, he had 7 and 3. And as I preached with Ilyasova the other day, he wasn't going to shoot as well as he had. That was a 100% guarantee. And my 100% guarantee, it came in, because he had 7 points on 11 shots in 23 minutes, 1 steal. While it looked sexy because he hit 10 of 11 threes over the weekend, he was far from a must own. When I say must own, you know what I mean. It means do whatever you can to get this guy on your roster. And Ilyasova is just not that guy, and he was never going to be that guy, at least in my opinion. Wasn't a great night from Dennis Schroeder, 14, 1, and 5. He will be better than that as we move forward. While DeAndre Bembry bounced back from an absolute turd, he had 10 and 3 with a triple 1. I like him to maybe push to 12-team value at some point, not at this stage, though. On to the Cavs.
LeBron James.
25, 7, and 17 assists, 2 steals, 85% from the field. If it wasn't for Porzingis' huge night, LeBron would have been the monster line. He was huge. He played the backup point guard role because Dwayne Wade was out. And look, he's just ridiculous. I've been so happy with drafting him in a couple of my leagues, just absolutely killing it. As for Jose Calderon, who is the starting point guard, he played 32 minutes because Wade was out. Of course, Rose is out, Thomas is out, and Shumpert's out also. 14 points with 4 assists and 4 triples. As long as Wade is out, maybe Calderon could have some 14-team league value. That's probably it. Kyle Korver, I did talk about him. At any point, he can go off and hit those threes. 19 points with 6 triples here. This is what he does. While Kevin Love returned from a one-game absence and had 17 and 12 in 28 minutes. Tristan Thompson also returned. He had a 6 trillion in that he played 6 minutes and had no other numbers. His minutes will go up as he returns from this calf injury. He's not going to sniff 12-team value, maybe not even 14-team league value. And also shout out to London Perantes, who played 3 minutes and didn't do much. It was okay night from Jay Crowder, 13 points, while Jeff Green had 17.
My name is Jeff.
In his 26 minutes, but with Wade, you know, coming back, he's not going to play that sort of amount each night. He's still more that deeper league sort of a guy. The LA Lakers and the New York Knicks, Kontavious Caldwell-Pope was pretty strong. 24, 4, and 3, 4 triples and 3 steals, but we know the up and down nature of his game. But I want to talk about Lonzo Ball here. People, there were serious people that messaged me saying, yeah, I need to drop Lonzo. Like, that should never have been a thought that entered your head. Yeah, you know what? The shooting percentages were shithouse. But 17, 8, and 6, 2 steals, a block, 3 triples, and the shooting has actually been improved for Lonzo recently, putting up some, you know, okay numbers. 46% here, he was 3 of 6 from 3, he looked more engaged offensively. He's the 88th ranked player this season and the 55th ranked guy over the last 2 weeks, as he's got his field goal percentage up to 40 and his true shooting up to 49%. So his numbers are starting to improve. Shooting-wise, the assists have been fine, the rebounds have been fine, the steals and the blocks have been fine all season, and he's providing those numbers, and he could legitimately be, from January onwards, I think there's a significant chance that from then onwards, he could be a top 60 guy, and we could have stretches of him being top 40 for, you know, month, 6 weeks in a row. I think that's for Lonzo. So, yeah, look, it really was not an ideal scenario to have dropped him. Hopefully, you didn't fall prey to that. The power forward situation, the future MVP Kyle Kuzma had 19 and 6, added in a couple of blocks to really distance himself from Nick Young. He played 30 minutes. Larry Nance played 26, while Julius Randle played 27. All three of those guys can be owned. I guess it really depends on what you want, but it's going to be some inconsistency with them all the time. While Brookie Lopez, a decent night from him, 14 and 4 in 23 minutes, but I just don't think he's ever getting those minutes back up to 28. Jordy Clarkson, 20 minutes for Clarko, 12 and 6 in that time. Still, you know, did pretty well, but yeah, the minutes, he just goes from 30 minutes to 20 minutes to 30 minutes to 15 minutes. It's all over the place. Just another one of those confusing rotational scenarios. Well, Brandon Ingram just could not shoot at all in this one. 2 of 12 for 5 points, but 7 boards, 5 assists, a steal and a block. And it's when I talk about guys like Kuzma, if a shot doesn't fall, there's nothing else coming. At least Ingram's contributing in these other areas, and that gives them a more steady level of fantasy value. On to the Knicks. Frankie Ntilikina, really good stuff here from Frank. 29 minutes, played the entire fourth quarter and overtime, 13-5-5 with 3 threes and a steal. Now, pre-game they asked Hornacek, yeah, are you planning on starting Ntilikina soon? And his answer was no, which is just ridiculous. Oh, I like him on the bench, and you probably shouldn't. Just get him in there and let him run with Porzingis and let those two work together. But Hornacek's not a good coach, but he pales into insignificance when I look at some of the other bad coaches in the NBA. So he probably doesn't get as much heat as what he deserves. Is Ntilikina a 12-team league guy? You could make that argument. I'm not sure his upside is top 50. And you're going to go through a few growing pains, but I think we're seeing him at least get 22 minutes a night from now on. And you know, my initial prediction was he'd start at sometime in December. That's looking less and less likely, but I still think there's a chance of that. So if you wanted to grab him, it's not a bad move to do it. Enes Kanter, 14 and 11, a really Enes Kanter line there, 14 and 11, no other stats and 70% shooting. That's good. At least he got the minutes here. While Courtney Lee, 10, 3, and 4. These are the Courtney Lee numbers that we expected before this season. He'd been awesome prior to this. I also don't expect him to shoot 29% from the field all that often, so he will be better. Make sure he's owned. Well, Jarrett Jack dished 10 assists. He's a solid assist streaming option, Jack, and him and Ntilikina shared the court late in the game. The next game to look at, the Washington Wizards and the Brooklyn Nets. No John Wall for the Wizards, so we had Tim Frazier starting again, and we had Tim Frazier being ineffectual once again as Tomas Satoransky played more minutes and outplayed him. And again, I'll say it, if when Wall comes back, if Satoransky isn't the backup, it is an injustice by Scotty Brooks. Jody Meeks played 26 minutes because, of course, he did. This was an embarrassing performance from the Wizards. The starters were absolutely despicable. Meeks did have 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals and a block, but we're talking about him as a deeper league sort of guy. And you know what? I'm ready to call it. Marcin Gortat, get rid of him. 12-team leagues, done, finished. 18 minutes in a game with Jan Mihinmi didn't even play. Everything's trending down. I've been anti-Marcin Gortat for the last 2 seasons in terms of where his ADP is. Now, I don't think you can own him in 12-team leagues. He's got to go. 30 minutes for Otto Porter, 11-5. Had that one good game without Wall and has really struggled in the other ones, while Beal had 28 points, but it did take him 33 shots to get there. I'm actually on board with dropping Markieff Morris if you want to. Yeah, look, he could have 12-team league value, and he's probably going to be more of a playoff type of guy, but for now, there's just no upside in him. So if you wanted to take a flyer on Nila Kina to see if he becomes a top 80 guy, have a look at it, because it might happen. I don't see it happening at all for Markieff. On to the Brooklyn Nets. My boy Caris LeVert is good. I think he's going to be really good, and I think he's good already. 29 minutes, 16-3-8 with 3 triples. He is a guy that needs to be owned. All 12-team leagues, Caris LeVert needs to be owned in, and I think he should be owned on your team. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, he is a must-own. 16-12 in 27 minutes for him. Spencer Dinwiddie, 11-6-12 with 2 steals and a block. A strong night from Spencer. Or Damari Carroll, he'd had been struggling recently, but another 15-8 night, he's a 12-team league guy. The blue swimmer, Alan Crabb, also knocked in 3 threes, but shot just 21% from 3 and 20% from the field. I would rather have Carroll, Dinwiddie, Hollis-Jefferson, and LeVert over Crabb in fantasy leagues. Julius Okafor was dressed, ready to go, did not play. Kenny Atkinson said before the game he's going to have to earn his minutes, and of course a coach is going to say that. I wasn't expecting a DMP CD from Okafor, but apparently he was, and he said in the layup line, probably won't see me out here tonight, more likely I'll make my debut Thursday. Now there's a couple of things. Everyone was really quick to go the old Dutch rudder on Jaleel. Man, he's going to beast it. 20-10, man. He's going to play 30-9. He's going to kill it. And I was adamant about pushing back on that, saying A, probably won't play 30-9. B, not a good rebounder. You know, C, not an ideal fantasy skill set. D, Jarrett Allen's a better player or a better fit on this team and in the current NBA. They're all the things that I was saying. So everyone that dropped him, but literally after a quarter in this game, oh, I'm dropping Okafor. Like maybe give him a game. Maybe wait to see what happens in the next game. Now, I don't think that Okafor's playing 26 minutes a night. He would need to play 30 minutes a night for him to become a top 100 player. I don't think there is any chance of that happening, as I've stated multiple times. But if you added him and likely dropped someone or spent a chunk of fab to get him, maybe wait to see him on the court first. See how it goes. See how he plays. See if he gets his 27 minutes or 30 minutes that you're hoping he gets. I don't think it's going to happen, but it could happen. Jarrett Allen looked great. 11 points, 2 blocks, 20 minutes. I think he's going to be the biggest impediment to Okafor. Tyler Zeller was all right, 12-8 in 23 minutes. Quincy Acey played. Tim Mozgov played. So they played 4 centers ahead of Okafor here. So if you did add him, wait. See how it goes. But as I have preached time and time again, I don't think it's there. I just don't think it's happening for him. Numerous reasons. I think they made the trade literally to get the second round pick. Not to get Okafor, because again, they don't have match rights and they don't have an ability to bid over $7 million for him if he's interested in getting cash. Someone throws $12 million on him, they can't offer that. And if no one offers him, you know, $8 million, that means he's shit. So it is a weird scenario, as I've said plenty of times before about Jahlil Okafor. The next game we'll take a look at, the San Antonio Spurs and the Dallas Mavericks. Kawhi is back, only played 16 minutes, but had 13-6 with a triple one. You'd be pretty bloody happy with that. Even in 16 minutes, you're really happy with that. And Kawhi's one of those guys that when he is back on IR, you do activate immediately. There are plenty of people who aren't like that. Someone said to me that I need to drop someone because Rodney Hood might be coming back. Or you know, someone, yeah, Milos Teodosic is back. Who do I drop to activate? Now, you don't drop those guys. You don't activate straight away. You wait. You wait a game, you wait 2 games, and you see what happens. Do they get re-injured? Are they on a minutes limit for 2 weeks? A week? See how it all pans out. Kawhi, you activate. LaMarcus Aldridge had 23-13, had a usage rate of 35%. Let's see how that all pans out when Kawhi is playing his full minutes load. Kawhi was quite dominant early on. You might still have an opportunity to sell Aldridge high and maybe get back top 20 value. I reckon you might struggle, but you could point to this and go, look at this, 35% usage rate in Kawhi's first game back, a big 20 and 10 double-double. yeah, I just think if you can get anything back as a top 30 guy for him, I would do that. Everyone returned who sat out the last game, Tone Parker, Pau Gasol, and probably, I guess, hidden in the Kawhi return is the fact that Parker played 24 minutes. He'd been at 19 every game before that, and 24 is probably his ceiling. I don't think he's going out there and playing 28 a night. So he had 24, had 6, 5, and 3, and he's really just a deeper league sort of guy, and that is literally it. Pau Gasol chucked up the donut as well. He had 0 points in 22 minutes. On to the Dallas Mavericks. Good win for them. The pencil Harrison Barnes had 17 and 6 with 3 steals. Just count those steals as a real lucky coincidence. Yogi Ferrell had 16 and 8 in 35 minutes, and when Dennis Smith with Dennis Smith out for the next two games, Ferrell has a level of value, but he hasn't been awesome, and I wouldn't be dropping great value to add Ferrell for just two games because he's going to go back to being not an interesting guy. As for Seth Curry, the outlook is not good. Curry is now saying it's not day to day, it's not week to week, it's couple of weeks to couple of weeks, and surgery is an option. There's a legitimate chance, maybe it's 10%, but there is a chance that we don't see Curry at all this season. And while his upside is not high enough to be stashing him this long term in a league without an IR spot. So if you've got him in a no IR spot, and if you're not first or second, you're going to have to move on. Because I reckon we don't see him in 2017. And we might actually end up seeing him mid-January, end of January. It's getting worse and worse by the day. The prognosis. His condition's improving, but his fantasy outlook's getting worse. JJ Barea had 16, 6, and 6. I'd probably rather add him than Ferrell, to be honest, for the short term while Smith is out. Dirk, it was not a good night. 1 of 8 for 6 points in 27 minutes, but he does have value enough in 12-team leagues. There's just zero upside. While Maxi Kleber, 30 minutes, 5 and 4, still just a deeper league guy, but with Curry's injuries concerns, I think Kleber's going to play 25 to 30 minutes a night for the foreseeable future, which is not something I thought I would say at the beginning of the year. If you love Tom Thibodeau, and you were a big Timberwolves homer, probably don't want to hear the recap of this game. The Sixers get the victory over the Wolves, 118-112 in overtime. We talked about Embiid. We'll talk about the Sixers first. So the Wolves people, you can listen. As I said, they started Rashawn Holmes at the 4, moved Šarić to the 3. Holmes, he played 33 minutes and had 15 and 11 and a block. I really like Holmes. I love his fantasy potential. But much like Trevor Booker, how is he squeezing out 25 per night when Covington's back and then when Fultz is back? It's going to be really tough. We're talking about Covington, a 34-minute-a-night guy. Yeah, Holmes might remain in the rotation, maybe. But now he's got an extra player to battle, and that's Trevor Booker. And how does that fit in? Now, they could eliminate Luau Cabarrot from the rotation and play more Šarić at the 3. I think in a lot of cases that won't necessarily work. Šarić playing, running out of Šarić, Holmes, Embiid, Simmons lineup with four non-shooters. I think that gets people into trouble. I think that gets teams into trouble. And it could get into trouble for Philadelphia. So I just don't see... Look, if you want to go and add him in at 12 and see what happens for this time that Covington's out, fine. But I think when it boils down to it, we're going to see him back to a 10, 15-minute role along with Booker, along with Amir Johnson. It's just been a weird little situation here. Redick had 26 points. Šarić had 14 and 8 in 40 minutes. So he's still getting the preference over Holmesy in this one. Well, Benny Simmons, not the best Ben Simmons night, just 7 points, added 8 assists and a steal, but really struggled to get any good looks or to hit any sort of shots. And as I mentioned, Luau Cabarrot, only the 4 minutes in a game with Fultz and Covington out. That's not a good sign for his regular spot in the rotation. Now, onto the Wolves. Tom Thibodeau is not a good coach. There are numerous reasons for it, and you hear it popping up on lots of podcasts now. I said it was mentioned on the Ringer podcast the other day. I'm pretty sure Zach Lowe mentioned it the other day. On his podcast, what he is doing in terms of playing these guys, and this is what Kevin O'Connor said on the Ringer podcast, it's tantamount to denying climate change. You are ignoring science. And you can give me any excuse under the sun that you want. Have you seen the bench? It's terrible. Who signed the bench? For a start, he did. Jamal Crawford, Tyus Jones, Gorgui Dieng, and Nemanja Bjelica with him out, that's a pain. Marcus George Hunt, see what he can do. Anthony Brown, see what he can do. See what these guys can do. Right? I know that the bench sucks. That's fine. Shabazz Muhammad is not good. He's also not 0 minutes on a team that needs bench help bad. He's not that bad. And the guy that brought him in was Thibodeau. The guy that brought Crawford in was Thibodeau. The guy that signed Jeng to an extension was Thibodeau. This is all his decision making. The guy that drafted Justin Patton at pick 16 was Thibodeau. These are all his decisions. This is horrendous man management. These players are rooted. The players from his Bulls era, Derrick Rose, finished. Luol Deng, finished. Joakim Noah, finished. Jimmy Butler didn't play big minutes for the first couple of years of the Thibs regime, so he's still going. Taj Gibson, you can say he played under Thibs. He did. But he also didn't play 30 minutes a night because he was a reserve. He was playing like 28 minutes a night. Carlos Boozer, out of the league. Maybe because he's shit, but maybe because the league's got a policy against spray on hair. Him and Darren Williams sitting somewhere on the sidelines. He ruins these guys, and he is going to ruin these players. Someone will get hurt. A 100% guarantee, these guys are going to get hurt. They are going to drop off. This team shot 41% from the field in this game. Just, you know, tired legs, players are complaining, they're having to cut back on practices. It is malpractice. And then you still lose. It is ignoring science. Someone in that organization needs to say, we have people, Tibbs, here who are trained medical professionals. You have to listen to them or you have to go. And that might seem harsh, but these are assets to a franchise. These are very good basketball players. These are men who want to be able to walk at some point in their life. This is abuse and it is horrendous. And it is disgustingly bad. And I haven't even talked about the fact that the defense is terrible on this team now. And that Pete, look, and he was an innovator and a defensive genius. The league has caught up. He has no flexibility. He has no adaptability. I heard, I think it was on Low Post, that Tyus Jones and Jeff Teague have not played a single minute together at all this season. Tyus Jones, when Teague was out, he could play 40 minutes a night and be capable. There is no reason for him to play 15 minutes only in an overtime game. Work it out. Play Jimmy 38 minutes. Give those other 7 to Tyus. Play Andrew Wiggins, who has not been good. Play him less than 40 minutes. These are bullshit decisions from a bad, bad coach. And it is going to cause a significant problem at some point. It already has, but it gets, you know, pushed under the rug a little bit with, you know, the death of Luol Deng and Derrick Rose and Noah and all these guys who are just dead. They're just finished. And it's going to happen with these guys. It is horrendous. For us, from fantasy, it looks great. Karl Anthony Towns, 48 minutes, 19 and 16, 4 steals and 3 blocks. That is brilliant. The fact that he took 16 shots while Wiggins took 24 is still disgusting. Jim Butler, 38, 6 and 3 with 3 triples. Fantastic. We love that. Jeff Teague had 17 points. Awesome. Taj Gibson, 2 steals, 2 blocks and 12 rebounds in his 40 minutes. Great for fantasy. Wigo had 20 and 7 with 2 steals and a block. Still horrendous efficiency. Great for the volume numbers. But Gorgui Dieng plays 18 minutes. Crawford plays 20 minutes. It's bullshit. It's literal bullshit. Someone is going to get hurt. My money is on Butler. He is going to miss 3 weeks in February. I can almost write it in for you now. And Towns, for as much as you want to call him an Iron Man, he's going to get him and Wiggins, one of them's going to get hurt. And it's going to be Tibbs' fault. And he needs to be held accountable. And to do all this in a December regular season game and then lose is bad. He is a bad coach. Simple as that. The Phoenix Suns and the Sacramento Kings. I don't even know what to say about this game, to be honest. The absolutely ludicrous Suns center rotation is back in play. Jay Triano, probably going to play the centers 20 minutes, 20 minutes, and 8 minutes, or you're not, and you're a lying asshole. Either one of those two options. I'm not sure which one of them it is. Because Greg Monroe, it was his turn to sit out, and guess what he did today? He sat out. And in going with the probably the most ridiculous pattern of them all, every game that Greg Monroe sits out, Jared Dudley also sits out. So that's another one you can write down. Whenever Monroe's slated for a DNP CD, Jared Dudley will be as well. I have no idea what the reason is, but it is something that happens. That means that the Suns playing on Wednesday, Tyson Chandler, he won't play, and Greg Monroe will start. And in the game after that, Alex Len will sit. The next thing I have to work out is what the bloody hell goes on with these point guards. Mike James, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 15 minutes, 31 minutes, 20 minutes. Euless, 32, 32, 32, 18, 32. How does it work? Nobody knows. The guy we still want is Euless, because on majority of nights, he gets the majority of minutes. But He's not a Mustang guy. James isn't a Mustang guy. I wouldn't be shocked if James plays 30 minutes in the next one because he had 17 points with 5 assists here. Or Euless had 10, 3, and 3. It is just a baffling situation that makes no sense. Dragan Bender, who had been phased out of the rotation almost, you know, 7 minutes a night, came in and then started playing minutes along with the starting unit. 21 minutes for him, 8 and 7. Well, Marquise Chris had 7 and 6 in 23 minutes. This is just a nonsensical situation from Triano, and it's bullshit. It's simple as that. If you've got a spot on Wednesday, though, add Greg Monroe and add the shit out of him because he is going to start and he is going to put up numbers and then yeah, he's going to go back to a bench role and then he's going to go to a DMP CD. Joshy Jackson played 30 minutes, had 7, 5, and 2. I'm not sure if he's ever going to be good, to be honest. I was not that high on him as a prospect. I was not massively high on him as a fantasy prospect. He's starting. He's doing nothing. So if you grabbed him because he was starting in 12s or 14 team leagues, I reckon you can forget that and move on. On to the Kings. Who knows? Again, George Hill back from personal reasons. He played 28 minutes, so he's either going to get 18 minutes or 24 minutes or 28 minutes. And there is no pattern to anything that happens here. 18 and 7 with 3 steals and 2 threes. If George Hill plays 28 to 30 minutes a night, he's a 12-team league guy, but we've got no way of knowing that. So he's a fringe guy. The only must-own player to me is Willie Cauley-Stein, who had 13 and 6 on horrible percentages. Randolph, Zebo, 28 minutes. At least he went back from the 38 minutes he was playing. 17, 7, and 5 for Randolph, putting up good numbers. He's a must-own. And Budrick Hield, maybe. 14 points with nothing else in 25 minutes. So he's a borderline 12. To everyone else, forget it. I am encouraged by the fact that Garrett Temple, though he remains starting, is now playing minutes in the teens instead of 34 a night. But that was like a week and a half ago where Temple was playing 34 minutes a night. So there's just no common sense with anything that really gets done with this team. My man Bogdan Bogdanovic, 33 minutes, 10, 5, and 4. If he gets 30 a night, he's a 12-team league guy, but you know, putting trust in that is a pretty risky proposition. While De'Aaron Fox, I'd rather have Frank Ntilikina in 12s. I'd rather have Frank Ntilikina in 14s. I don't think Fox is really a 14-team league guy at the moment. While Frank Mason outplayed him again, 6, 4, and 4 with a steal and a block. He's coming up to being a 14-team type guy. But again, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen with the... I know that Mason's going to play every night. I understand that. But will he play 20 or 26? I think Mason's ahead of Fox at this point in pretty much all fantasy situations. Also, Vince Carter out of the rotation and Justin Jackson, who literally played 33 minutes in the last game, did not play DNP CD. So again, if you can work out some of the stupidity that goes on with the coaches, please send me a note. Let me know what the pattern is because, to be honest, there is no pattern at all with any of this shit, apart from the Suns center rotation, which is as predictable a pattern as you can get, and it's still stupid. Maybe I'm just being difficult and nothing will please me. No pattern. I still hate it because it's dumb. It's all dumb. These teams are shit and they're dumb. And that is, I'm just losing my mind. So I'm going to have to take a quick break. I'm going to have a drink and then we're going to come back refreshed. And then we're going to talk DFS action. And we're going to get our preview on for Wednesday's games where we have 9 of them. But before we do that, we'll play a song by, who will we play it by? It will be by Jake McKelvey and the Countertops. And this song is called Time is a Chew Toy. And then we'll be back to preview a 9-game slate for Wednesday.
Let the time I watch slip by through the gate and back into your place. And under the stairs where I used to sleep. And why is it I only miss you when you're not around and I'm never that hungry? Until you don't feed me. Your thinking is deeper. I am on shallower ground. There's nothing to play with here. And they won't let.
All right, guys, we're back. Let's talk perfect DFS from Tuesday on FanDuel. The Blue Arrow 38.3 and Georgie Hill 36.9. Good luck trying to work out when George Hill's going to have a big game. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope 41.3. Kent Bazemore, 44.6. Let's lock in Kent against the Cavs every time. Rudy Gay, 37.5, and Jim Butler, 48.7. Porzingis, 66.7. Taj Gibson, 35.4. And Karl Anthony Towns, 56.5 for a total of 405.9. And that cost $59,500 on DraftKings. Hill, 36.75. KCP, 41. Bazemore, 45.5. Rashawn Holmes, 34.75. Townsy had 52.25. Dinwiddie, 43. Porzingis, 66.75. And Jim Butler, 49.5 for a total of 369.5. And that cost $49,900. Let's now talk about the games. There are nine on. It's a really sexy slate for DFS purposes, the nine game ones. I always like those ones. The first one we want to talk about is the LA Clippers and the Orlando Magic. The problem here is that we've got a little bit of a shit show in terms of questionable players. A lot of them come in the early ones, so hopefully we can get that sorted out. But there's quite a few situations that need monitoring. For the Magic, John Isaac, is this guy alive? Are we ever going to see him back again with this severe ankle sprain? I think that the fact that this ankle sprain has taken so long for him to get back, that means that even when he comes back, he's going to be bothered by it all season. So get your buy low dynasty offers ready. He's doubtful. Aaron Aflalo is questionable, who's been their starting shooting guard because Evan Fournier is out. And Aaron Gordon is questionable dealing with a concussion. If we have Aflalo out, Isaac out, Fournier out, and Gordon out, I think they might go and start DJ Augustine next to Lord Alfred Payton, and you're going to have Mario Hezonja starting at the four again. Big minutes for Vooch, and then you're going to have lots of opportunities opening up in other areas with DJ, with Hezonja, with Wezawundu even, just some other options there for this team. It's just a real weird situation. Milos Teodosic will probably be on a minutes limit for the Clippers again, while the Rooster Danilo Gallinari is out again with another ass-related issue. At the point guard spot, as I said, DJ Augustine, $4,000. He had 30 points in the last game, and that was with Aaron Aflalo playing. So I like putting him in. I would actually probably even consider him a cash guy if we hear that Aflalo and Gordon are both ruled out, and he should easily be able to get to 20 points in that sort of a scenario. Austin Rivers at $6,200. The return of Teodosic puts a little bit of a cap on what Austin can do, but not really, because he's still going to play his 30 minutes, and I think that he's not a bad cash option, while Teodosic is at $4,500. Yeah, he could go off. I think the minutes limit definitely would keep me away from using him in cash. But there is some tournament upside there for Milos. Lord Alfred Payton, $7,700. You would think that with everyone out, he could do some more things, but it's not really his game. So I don't really like the increased price. Even though it has come down since last game, I still think it's too high, and I'm not really feeling Lord Alfred at that sort of a price tag. The other guys listed at point guard, Sindarius Thornwell, Juwan Evans, Shelvin Mack. You could look at Mack at $4,300 if all those guys are out, because he did put up 27 in the last game. At shooting guard, Lou Williams is at $8,200. The return of Teodosic probably limits my exposure to Lou at that sort of a salary. He's still fine to consider, and it is a really good matchup for Lou. He could get 40, but how high is his upside? And the low floor probably scares me off somewhat. At small forward, Wes Johnson, no interest. John Simmons at $6,500. It seems expensive, but I think that is almost a lock for cash for Simo. If we have Gordo out, look, if Gordon plays, it's going to be, like, he's still a fine value, but if Gordo is out, I really like that for John Simmons at $6,500. Sammy Decker, out of nowhere, had 23 points in 27 minutes in the last game. He's at $3,600. With the Rooster out again and a good performance from Sam in that last performance, I think Decker's shooting 15% from three this season as well, so there is some room for him to improve. You could throw Decker into a GPP. I think that's worthwhile. Same as Wezawundu if we have all these guys pull out again. At power forward, Az Gordon's at 9,000. I'd be in on Az if he's ready to go, given the other injuries, but it's a little bit hard to know that at this point, clearly. While the table, Montrezl Harrell at $4,000, he put up 27 in the last game. Probably a high expectation to expect him to get back to that. I wouldn't. But there is some upside in considering him a tournament guy, but definitely not for cash. At center, we've got DeAndre, we've got Nick Vucevic, and I think both guys are awesome options. Vooch is averaging over 60 points in his last three games, 9,300, no Fournier, so an extra offensive load falls onto him. And if Gordo is out, then Vooch is looking at another 60. I love it. And on the other side, I love DeAndre Jordan. It's not like Vooch is really a defensive mastermind, so Jordan can get out there and easily get his 40 points and probably get 50, to be honest. He's had a great record against Vooch with a 48-point average the last three times that he has taken on the Magic. So he's both those centers are absolutely in play for DFS. Over on DraftKings, I think DJ Augustin, again, 4,300. There's value of him here. I love Vooch at 8,800 also. There's a couple of guys whose prices are a little bit lower. Miloš Teodosic at 3,900. I think that's actually worth looking at in cash on DraftKings, as opposed to him being more tournament-based on FanDuel. You've got Lou Williams at 7,700, which I feel pretty good about him, with a three-point bonus as well on DraftKings. I feel good with that for cash. DeAndre's at 73 there also, who's also a strong cash play. Well, John Simmons, the price is probably, it's a little bit high now. If Aaron Gordon is out, I think John Simmons at 6,400 is a worthwhile play. Otherwise, he is a little bit of a tougher guy to use. And of course, you've still got your flyers like the table, like Sammy Decker, and maybe Mario Hezonja, who had 21 DraftKings points in that last game, starting at power forward and at 3,800. 21 points at 3,800 is a very, very good return. So you could consider, and he didn't have like a great game, so you could consider Hezonja in the case that both Aflalo and Gordon happen to be out, which I think is a decent possibility. The next game we'll take a look at is the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers. Fire up your revenge game narratives, because Paul George is heading back to Indiana. He was absolutely abysmal the last time that he took on his former team in Oklahoma City. Maybe you can twist the narrative, twist the revenge game rules and say, well, yeah, now he's going back to Indiana. Let's see how he goes in this one. It is going to be interesting. The Pacers are favored by 1.5. Yes, the Pacers are favored over the Oklahoma City Thunder, and the total is 213. We've got a couple of injuries to pay attention to. Daz Collison and Corey Joseph are both questionable, the two point guards on this team. If they are out, just give me as much Lance Stevenson as I can get. I'd even consider Mighty Joe Young, because they just don't have any backcourt depth at all. Victor Oladipo would be playing 48 minutes, Tom Thibodeau style. On the Thunder side of things, Andre Robertson is questionable with an ankle sprain, so Alex Abrines is going to be the guy to get the boost there. He is an all right GPP option, but nothing that really feels overly spectacular, because it's not like he's replacing a huge amount of usage that Robertson uses. At point guard, Russell Westbrook, 11,200. I really, really like that for cash. I think that's really strong. He's got a great record against Indiana. Daz or Joseph, they're not really going to be able to slow him down either, so I do like that. As for Collison at 5,900, the knee bothers me, so he is out, while Corey Joseph at 4,400, just not a fantasy option at all. At shooting guard, Robertson, well, no interest. Vic Oladipo is the interesting one here. He's at 9,900. What do we do? That's a high price. He is going against his former team for the second time. Look, if Collison's out and Joseph's out, I think that you can consider Vic. But I think at 9,900, I know he's been awesome, but that I just don't feel like the floor is high enough for cash for Oladipo at that elevated sort of a price. At small forward, Paulie George has not been good. 24-point average over his last three, dealing with that calf problem. He's at 7,600. That is a very, very good price. I am not basing that on revenge game factor. I'm basing it on the fact that that's cheap. And he is a good player, and he's in a slump, and he's due to break out of it, and he can definitely do it here. So I think that Paul George at 7,600 is worth a look. A reminder, the first game against Indiana, he scored 13 FanDuel points. 13-1-3. Hardly a big performance, but he was in foul trouble in that game, so it would be remiss of me not to note that. But at 7,600, I do really like Georgie here. Bojan Bogdanovic is at 4,500. You cannot use him in cash. You can look at him as a tournament guy, but he's pretty far down the list. While Lancey Stevenson, 4,500. I've got him listed as a GPP guy just because we don't know Daz or Corey Joseph's status at this point. If they are out, that's smashable. That is almost a 25-point lock, I would say, which is great for cash, and then 30-35-point upside for Lance. He's right up there on the ship bloke rankings, but he's also right up there on the lockable cash guys if those players happen to be out. At power forward, Jeremy Grant, no. Carmelo Anthony, no. Thaddeus Young at 6,300, I think that's a strong cash play without having much upside. Sabonis, not interested in him. And then we go to the centers. It's Steve-O Adams. It's Miles Turner. Turner's at 8,100 and has quietly been putting together some good games. Over 40-point average over his last three. But Steve Adams' defense is legit, so that makes him a fade at that salary. Steve Adams at 6,900.
Giggity.
Bit of a delay. Love the matchup. We've seen plenty of centers go big against Miles Turner so far this season. I just think the salary for Adams might be a little bit high. I would consider him in a tournament pool, and I'd probably look to use him over Miles Turner given the salary discrepancy, but he's not going to be like a first-picked sort of player to me. On DraftKings, It's a similar situation, except Miles Turner is at 6,300. And I think, I don't care about the Steve Adams defense. That for cash is an absolute bargain. We're talking about almost $2,000 difference between Miles on FanDuel and DraftKings. So if the Steve Adams defense is a factor, but it's not a factor for me to avoid using him at 6,300. I really like that. Russ Westbrook at 11.2 is a cash lock, I feel. And Steve Adams at 6,400. I think he, at that sort of a price tag, a little bit reduced over FanDuel, is also worth a look for cash. So some strong options here on DraftKings. Lance Stevenson, same as I said before, he's got that tournament upside, but you'd smash the absolute shit out of it if Collison and Joseph is out. He's at 4,100, while Paulie George is at 7,700. So a little bit more highly priced over on DraftKings, but still has clearly got that 50, 60 point upside and makes him a very, very good GPP guy. Victor Oladipo, a little bit more appealing on DraftKings as well at 9,200. But I still do have a level of concern with the floor there at that price, while Thaddeus Young at 59 is also an okay play, but far from being the strongest one that's out there on the slate. The next game we look at, the Memphis Grizzlies and the Washington Wizards, two teams who are, yeah, they need a win pretty badly. For the Wizards, we want to check on the status of Johnny Wall and Yan Mahinmi. If Wall is out, more minutes go to Tomas Satoransky, but not enough to really consider him too much of a GPP guy. Well, if Mahinmi's out, Jason Smith, who had a big game in today's action, he might be worth having a squiz at. At point guard, John Wall, 9,300. If he's in, I am in on that against the Grizz, who have been a disaster pretty much all season, or at least since Conley's been out. Mario Chalmers, Satoransky, the other two point guards, no interest in them. Or Tim Frazier. Andy Harrison, worth looking at, just so I can have a look at what he's been doing, because it's been impressive, and I've got to give kudos. 23-point average over the last three, 21 over his last five, and at 4,200, there might be a level of appeal there. I'm not fully convinced on Harrison. I'm not convinced on his floor. I'm not convinced on his upside. So to me, that makes him not really interesting in either format of the DFS game. Tyreek Evans at 7,300, just terrible in the last game. He has had a history of being terrible and then bouncing back in the next one. So I am in on Tyreek at that price, while Bradley Beal at 8,600 is a fairly strong fade. At small forward, Chandler Parsons, 4,400. I think it's fine. I think Chandler is going to get you 25 points on most nights. He is going to be able to do it in his limited minutes, and I like him at that price. I think it's good. Otto Porter at 7,400. I'm just not interested in Otto Porter in DFS. He'd need to be down to like the 5-9s before I really even consider him. Kelly Oubre at 4,500. You're only ever looking at him as a tournament type of guy. Dylan Brooks will remain starting and will remain doing nothing. He put up a grand total of 0.2 points in the last game. He is just not a DFS guy. At power forward, Jermichael Green, not interested in him. He just doesn't put up numbers. And then we look at the centers. Marc Gasol, 8,100. Gasol's numbers haven't been good. 34 points over the last fight, which is fine, but at that salary, it's not quite there. But I think this is a really good opportunity for him to go out there and drop a 40, given that salary has come down $300. Gortat, forget that. No way. Mahinmi at 3,800. Maybe, but probably not. Very limited upside for Ian. Let's look on DraftKings at how it all pans out. Johnny Wall's at 7,900. I love taking a flyer on that in a GPP, even if we haven't heard news on whether he's back. That is a great, great price. I like Gasol a lot at 7,600 for cash, and Chandler Parsons at 4,000 enables you to put Russ in, enables you to put some of the other high-priced players in at that price, because I feel like he's going to come out there and give you 24 points, return your 6x value on DraftKings. I really do like Chandler Parsons at that sort of a salary. Andy Harrison's also worth a look at 3,700. I think that at that price, he's not a bad cash guy. Again, just to fit some of these high-priced players in. And no one else really stands out as being an option. Yeah, Bradley Beal is more interesting on DraftKings. He's a full $1,000 cheaper, 7,600. Otto Porter is cheaper, but I'm still not really diving into the Otto Porter business, especially with the possibility that Johnny Wall might be out as well. Go to the next game now. We're going to talk Portland Trailblazers and Miami Heat. The Heat are favored by 3, and the total is 202 points and a half. We don't know the status of Yusuf Nurkic. We don't know the status of Mo Harkless. Regardless, with Harkless, it's going to be Evan Turner who starts, who's not an option. It's Pat Connaughton who gets more minutes, who's not really an option, and Jake Layman, who is seemingly replaced Shabazz Napier, and they're not going to be DFS options. The Nurkic one's the more interesting one. If he is out, does Myers Leonard get a look as a GPP guy? Is it Zach Collins? I would say that none of those guys are reliable enough to consider in cash, but you could put Leonard and Collins, both guys who can put up DFS numbers, You could consider them GPP guys just given their cheap price. We know that Hassan Whiteside is out for Miami. Tyler Johnson at 4,700. Don't trust the floor, but I do think that the 35-point upside makes him worthwhile looking at, while the iron shoulder, Goran Dragic, is at 6,700. Just too overpriced, I think. I like what Dragic can do. He's more in the 30-point range rather than the 35-point range, and that makes him a little bit too highly priced. Dame Lillard's at 9,500. The Heat have had pretty decent success against both Dame and opposition point guards, so you could consider him. I'd probably lean a little bit more tournament-y with him, but he could be used in cash just with that, you know, 40-point ability, depending on how else you've structured your lineup. At shooting guard, McCollum at 6,800 has just been disappointing recently. That's fair to say. The floor for him's okay. You know, 25-point minimum over his last five, but hasn't been smashing it with any big games. Much like Lillard, he can be used in cash, but I would lean more towards him as a tournament guy. Dion Waiters, the elbow's a real bother, so he's a no. While the Duke, Wayne Ellington, is like Kyle Korver, he is a minimum salary GPP option, same as Pat Connaughton on the Blazers side. Joshy Richardson, 4,700. Some strong games from him recently. Got a 24-point average over his last five, which is pretty good at that 4,700 mark. I still only look at him more as a tournament sort of guy. Turner, Justice Winslow, Mo Harkless, Jake Layman, just an absolute shit bucket of small forwards. At power forward, Jimmy Johnson. He's going to start. And he's going to put up 30 points. And at 5,900, 30 point with a 50-point upside, that's tournamenty. And it's also pretty bloody cashy. So I do like Jim at that price. If he starts to head to the 6,500 mark, I'd probably fade him. But at that price, I'm fine with it. Kelly Olynyk at 6,000. Well, he'll play more than the 18 minutes he played in the last game, but that is too high to rely on Olynyk. While Al-Farouq Aminu at 5,500, just not going to be as good as some of those early games where he was hitting a bunch of those threes. He's just not that guy, so I don't think that's worth looking at, really. At center, Nurkic at 7,800. If Nurk played, I might roll it out in the GPP, but probably not. Bam Adebayo had 34 points in that last Olynyk foul-plagued game, but I don't think that's a reliable indicator of what he's going to do in all games moving forward. While Myers Leonard, as I mentioned, minimum salary guy, 30-point upside. Hey, if we have Nurkic out and him starting, there's something to see there, potentially. On DraftKings, yeah, if you're going to look at tournament options, I think Tyler Johnson at 4,500 has some value there. Not much else to really look at. You got the standard Jukes and you got your Paddy Connaughtons. You could throw in there or Myers Leonard, but nothing super exciting. I love Jim Johnson for cash at 56. Kelly Olynyk, a much better cash option on DraftKings at 54. I would actually ride with that. He wouldn't be my top priority power forward or center, but he could be in the mix. CJ McCollum at 6,700. I'm still looking at him and Dame as cash options, but to be honest, my faith in them is waning. And even though those salaries look good and I'm expecting a turnaround at some point, especially for CJ, I'm losing a little bit of faith in McCollum at this point. The next game up is the Denver Nuggets and the Boston Celtics. No spread currently out for this one. Al Horford is out. He is resting. Marcus Morris is out. We know that, while Kyrie Irving has been upgraded to probable. On the Nuggets side of things, it's Farton Will Barton who left today's game with a lower back contusion, and Nikola Jokic who's missed the last five games with an ankle sprain. So obviously if Barton and Jokic are out, there are minutes of plenty there. I'd be looking at Trey Lyles as an option. I'd be looking at Malik Beasley as a GPP guy. I'd be smashing Gaz Harris and the Blue Arrow in cash games. I think that'd be great for them if Barton is out, especially. Wilson Chandler has a level of value. Ken Fareed, is he a DMP CD or will he play? Who knows? That's a tough one to grasp. That would make him more of a tournament sort of a guy. There is a ton of value in this game, though, on the Celtics. There's a ton of value just in general, but on the Celtics side, we've got some really appearing. Let's start with the point guards, though. The Blue Arrow, 5,100. If Barton's out, that's a cash play to me. If he's not, he's still a little bit hard to rely upon with the bullshit the Malone pulls. Terry Rozier, with the return of Kyrie, that loses some of his playing time, so I'm not really feeling too much greatness with him. Same with Manny Moutier. As for Kyrie, 8,100, I love that. I'm all about that. I think that's a 50-point upside here for Kyrie. I really do think this is a good spot for him. At shooting guard, Marcus Smart's at 59. I won't be looking at that. Gaz Harris at 58. I'm all over Gaz Harris at 58. I think that's a very, very good price, especially with the specter of Barton sitting. And as for the farting one, he's at $7,000. If he's ready to go, I think he is definitely worth looking at, but we just don't know that at this point. Malik Bleasy, the other one you want to have a look at. Minimum salary guy who could be getting a shit ton of minutes if Barton is out. At small forward, Jaylen Brown, 5,800. I would rather have Jaylen than Jason Tatum at this point in cash, given their respective salaries. Tatum's still been outproducing Brown most times, but given that extra $300 worth of savings, I would take Jaylen. I think he's in a good spot here, while Baby Neck at 4,100. I think that's at 4,100. I think that's a cash option for Wilson and get you some of those higher priced guys in. At power forward, this is where it really opens up. No Marcus Morris, no Al Horford. So Vanilla Tice, Daniel Tice, that is for the uninitiated. He's at 3,500 minimum salary. In. Let's get it. Let's get our 20 points out of Tice. He can block shots. He can get rebounds. He's going to play minutes. I'm in. Totally on him. Tatum at 6,100. That's more of a tournament one in case he goes out and hits 85% of his threes, which he can do. But I'm just not sure at 6,100 I'm ready to lock that in cash. Whereas Fareed at 5,500, I do think that he will play in this game and he will bounce back and he can be a decent cash lock. While Lyles, oh, not lock, but a cash play. While 4,300 for Trey Lyles, he's been playing really well. But I think he's more of a tournament guy. At center, here's the other one that I'm in on. Bainsey, 3,600. Whenever he starts, you're going to get probably a 24-point minimum. It would be my guess in 20 minutes. And we're looking at 30-point upside here for Bainsey. Really, really like that. As for Jokic, 9,800. Coming off a bum ankle, probably a fade to me. I wouldn't want to spend that sort of money. Well, Mason Plumlee had a good game here. In the last one, 31 points on Tuesday. But, minutes under the 20s or below 20 in most of those other games that Jokic has been out. Not really feeling too appealing to use Big Mace. On DraftKings, it's a similar story. Jaylen Brown at 5,900 has got some tournament upside, while the Blue Arrow at 5,200. Again, if Barton is out, I'd be all over Jamal Murray at that sort of a price. As for Farton, Will Barton, 6,900, that fairly locks him in as a cash guy. I like Kyrie at 82. I like Bainsey a lot at 39. I like Vanilla Tice at 36, exactly the same as over on FanDuel. Fareed, 5,000, so he does have a level of appeal, but of course you've got to have some level of caution. While Baby Neck at 4,600, that's probably a little bit too high for him. I smash it on FanDuel, but on DraftKings, I think it's just a little bit too high for Wilson Chandler. Although, if Barton is out, that would definitely open up some appeal there. Trey Lyles, just a GPP sort of guy. But Jokic is more interesting over on DraftKings. At $8,000, I would run that into a GPP because he's got the ability to go for 50. I just don't think at that 9,000 plus number on FanDuel that it's really a great value proposition. Let's go on to the next game. It is the Utah Jazz and the Chicago Bulls. No spread currently at the moment. We don't know the status of Hull Neto. He is doubtful. Jonas Jerebko is probable. Joe Johnson is questionable with his wrist sprain. And then on Chicago's side, Lauri Markkanen is questionable. And that's the biggest one. Yeah, this Neto, Jerebko, Johnson, it doesn't mean shit really for DFS. If Markkanen is out, then fire up your Miritichs because he is going to play minutes and he is going to be good. PunchBob Shiploke, maybe you could even look at him in that scenario where he put up big numbers in that last game as well, but it's going to require Lowry to be out. At point guard, Chrissy Dunn, 7,400. No. I think no is a good answer. That's too high in a low-paced game against Utah. Not interested. Ravishing Rick Rubio, 5,300. Sorry, Rick, you've done well against Chicago in the past. And I know it is appealing. But the way you're playing is not, and Rocket Rodney Hood is back. So someone's going to lose minutes. Is it going to be Birksie? Is it going to be Ravishing? Is it going to be Don Mitchell? I'll tell you who it's not going to be. It's not going to be Don Mitchell. So I think Rubio's in a little bit of trouble there with minutes. So that is not interesting for me at all there. At shooting guard, as for Rocket, 5,700, you could throw him into a GPP. Sure, no cash value. While Alec Burks is at 5,400 on FanDuel. He's been putting up numbers in that time, no doubt. But with the return of Hood, Sauer, that opportunity, I think that that's a, decent bet. So probably a fade there for him as well. Justin Holliday's at 57. He's a little bit up and down, so more of a GPP guy, but I could lean towards him in cash at that price. Well, Don Mitchell, just too high for cash at 7,600, but he does have that 50 point upside, of course, and a brilliant matchup here. At small forward, Jingling Joe's at 52. Lock that in. That's a cash play. Limited upside, but cash. Well, David Nwaba at 4,600. Lower pace game, slower game, Ingles defense, Mitchell defense. I don't really have that level of faith in Nwaba for me to consider that a great play. Denzel the Hammer Valentine, 4,400. That's going to be a fade for me. At power forward, Nick Miritich, 4,800. 37 in that game without Markkanen. That is as cash smashable as exists if Markkanen is out. If Markkanen is in, I think that I would fade it. I think his ownership percentage will be too high, and I think there's a level of failure there in 21 minutes. If he is out, you have to. I think you have to play Miritich in cash if Lowry is out. Derek Favors at 5,100, I want nothing to do with him. And as for Markkanen at 6,600, that's not interesting to me. Coming off a back injury, the uncertainty, and his production is just not really, it's not really showing us that he's going to be worth that 6,600. At center, Robin Lopez at 5,200. No. Gobert at 7,400. Just not really feeling Gobert at the moment. It is a good matchup for him, but I'm not interested. This is not a great DFS game unless Markkanen happens to be out. Now, on DraftKings, things are a little bit different. There's more value across here. I really like Holiday, actually. 4,900 is a stupid low price. That's cash playable. It's also got great tournament upside, but there is a bunch of guys I like for cash. I like Chrissy Dunn at 6,300. I like Don Mitchell at 7,000. Those prices, much lower than their FanDuel counterparts, it works out much better for those guys on this site. David Nwaba at 4,100. At 4,600, I didn't like it. At 4,100, I think he gets there almost no matter what. Robin Lopez, 4,700. I think he can acquire that sort of level. Jingling Joe, 5,000. Love it. Yeah, lots of value there. Punch Bob at 4,700. Nick Miritich, who is, if I could find his name, I would tell you, he's at 5,200. A little bit tough to use those guys if Markkanen's in, but if Markkanen's out, again, smash it. Now, Miritich's not quite as smashable on DraftKings as what he is on FanDuel, just because the price is higher, but I still think that he's got legit 7 or 8x upside here without Markkanen. So at 5,200, you would want to be all in on Miritich if Lowry happens to be out, which is a possibility. This podcast has gone forever, guys. I apologize. Too much ranting. The Milwaukee Bucks and the New Orleans Pelicans, obviously, we need to check on statuses of a bunch of these Pelicans guys. Tone Davis, Jameer Nelson, Dante Cunningham. They didn't have anyone to play last game, and Shek Diallo still didn't play. That shows how little faith Alvin Gentry has in him. As for the Bucks, Tone Snell's out, Dally's out, Teletovich is out. So we know that in advance, so that's a good thing. The Pelicans one's going to be interesting. If Davis is out, then we're loading up on Rondos, Holidays, Moores. Dante Cunningham's the other one. He could be at Darius Miller. There's a bunch of value that could really open up if these players are out, like the last game against Houston. At point guard, Eric Bledsoe, 6,900. I think that's a fine cash option. Really do like that. Gary Payton at minimum salary is going to start. Will he play 5 minutes? Will he play 20 minutes? Will he play 50 minutes? Who knows what Jason Kidd's going to do? I don't love his fantasy potential, so he's not someone I'm really getting that interested in. Rondo at 5,800, I think he's super strong. We've seen him put up some big games recently, and if Davis is out and those other players, I'm all aboard Rondo at that sort of a salary. At shooting guard, Chrissy Middleton, 7,400. I think that is a strong, strong cash play. There's a lot of options in this game. Etuan Moore at 4,600. I'd lock that in, and then he can actually smash through that pretty comfortably if some of these guys are injured. He's not going to continue to shoot at 1,000,000% from three, but I think at 4,600, he's going to be fine. He's going to get the minutes, and he's going to be good. Brogo's at 4,700. Every day of the week, I take Etuan Moore over him. $100 less, more minutes, and don't have to deal with Jason Kidd. Drew Holiday's at 7,400. That's a significant boost after the last game because he dropped 62 points. So fair enough. He's been really good. You know, smash that as well if we have these guys like Davis out. At small forward, Darius Miller, 3,700. You know the drill. Cunningham, Davis out. He becomes a lineup guy to look at. Well, Yanni's at 12,200. Now, in the cash, you could look at Yanni with the value availing us on Daniel Tice, on Bainsey, on the potential of guys like Darius Miller here. There's some, you know, three sub 4,000 guys that you could easily fit around Yanni, but I'm not loving him as your best high priced option. He still does have that tournament upside, but I'm not 100% in on Antetokounmpo as a cash guy. At power forward, Tone Davis is at 11,100. If he plays, love it. But we just don't know that at this point. While the Muppet John Henson at 5,500, probably just a little bit too high for my liking. Thon McCurt, no way. Boog Cousins, 12,000. Yeah, much like Yanni, I think he's a tournament guy. I would lean Antetokounmpo over Cousins. But if Davis is out, then Cousins probably gets the nod because we've seen big games from opposition centers against the Bucks this season. On DraftKings, a bunch of guys I like for cash here, cash and tournaments. Etuan Moore at 48, Rajon Rondo at 63, Drew at 72, Chrissy Middleton at 68, love that. Yanni at 11.3 and Boog at 11,000. So I think both of those guys have tremendous cash value. Tone Davis at 10.2, I would be all over that if he plays. We just are unaware of that at this point. And Darius Miller at 37 has that GPP upside if Cunningham and Davis are both out. Let's go to the next game. It's the Toronto Raptors, and it's the Phoenix Suns. The Raptors are favored by 11.5, and the total is 217.5. Here at point guard, Fred VanVleet's at 4,400. No, thank you. Kyle Lowry at $8,000, only because, and Lowry's been struggling a little bit, but only because this is the Suns. I think 40 points is a realistic expectation for Lowry, so I'm okay with using him. Tyler Ulis and Mike James, both of those guys you can only ever consider as GPP guys. 4,800 for Ulis, whereas James comes in at 4,500. Tournaments, don't use them both in the same lineup, only one of them, but you can't rely there on cash. At shooting guard, DeMar DeRozan's at 8,800. The blowout potential probably makes me go, that's too high for DeMar. I feel like he can get 40 if the game was close, but at 8,800, it's probably just a little bit too high. Small forward TJ Warren, not stepping up with Devin Booker out, so that's a fade. CJ Miles at 3,800. No real interest there, while the Jedi OG Anunoby continues to start, but he's averaging 11 points over his last five games, so not really going to do it for me there either. At power forward, you've got Siakam, you've got Serge Ibaka at 58, who I do really like. Serge at 58, I think that's a cash option. Jared Dudley, who should be back in the rotation after his scheduled rest, but I'm not really getting into those guys. At center is where it's really going to happen. Jonas Valanciunas had 41 points in the last game. He's at $5,000. The Suns have allowed centers to have big games. I'm okay with using Jonas as a GPP, but knowing Dwayne Casey and his overall knowledge, Jonas will probably play 21 minutes and limit what he can do, but 40 points potential at 5,000 in. For tournaments only, of course.
As Greg runs in, we realise this could get dangerous.
Greggy Munro, the guys at FanDuel have caught on. They have bumped him up $400 to 5,700. I still think that there's a 30-point player here in Munro, with Chandler likely to sit out due to the nonsensical, completely sensical center. I say it's nonsense that they do it, but it's... there's sense in that I can actually get a pattern out of it. So that's the sensible part of it. I think there's 30 points here for Greg. And you can also look at Alex Len at 4,900, because maybe he gets the bulk of the minutes and puts up a 30-pointer, which is definitely a possibility for him. So get prepared for Tyson Chandler to sit this one out. I'm going to laugh again if it happens, but at this point, it's pretty much a guarantee. On DraftKings, I think Ulis at 4,200 is a pretty strong tournament play, and Greggy at 48.
As Greg runs in, we realise this could get dangerous.
All about Greg Monroe at 4,800 cash value there, and Valanciunas at 47 has that tournament upside. I like DeRozan at 83 as a cash play, and TJ Warren, while he's been underwhelming given his extra role potential with Devin Booker out, at 6,700, I think he can achieve that and get that value pretty comfortably. So I do like him a lot on DraftKings, not so much over on FanDuel. All right, let's roll into the last game of the night now. It is the Charlotte Hornets and the Houston Rockets. The Rockets are favored by 12.5. The total is 220 points. Nick Batum is doubtful, while Trev Ariza is probable with a foot contusion. At point guard, Chrissy Paul, 9,300. Just dicing teams up, left, right, and center. You're getting 45 out of Chris Paul should be considered a minimum expectation, and I'm fine with using him. I think he's a good option here. As for Kemba, down to 7,900 on FanDuel, because his performances have been a little bit subpar. I would probably look to fade him in a lot of cases with the Chris Paul defense, but if you are struggling for a point guard, I think you can be decently confident in his floor. I'm just not sure his ceiling reaches up to 45 points. At shooting guard, Jez Lamb, 4,900, lock that in, bang that in, that is done, that is in the lineups. Now, he struggled in the last game, there's no denying that, 18 points in 33 minutes, but at 4,900, he is in my lineups. Jimmy Harden at 12-1, if I'm spending 12 on a guy, it's not Boog, it's not Yanni, it's Jim at 12-1. You know, surround him with Baines, you surround him with Tice, Darius Miller, you can get those cheaper guys in, so I like him for cash. Eric Gordon went off in the last game against the Pals. He'd struggled prior to that, so that $500 price rise just makes me go an absolute no thanks. Malik Monk, no. Small forward Kid Gilchrist killed it last game, 4,800. That means a real turd is going to be laid here by him on the middle of the court. He is a tournament guy, while PJ Tucker is great on the court. Shit for fantasy. Trevor Ariza, no interest. at Power Forward, Frank the Tank, 3,800. I like that for tournaments. That is a great, great price for Frank. Backup Power Forward, backup center. He dropped 28 in 18 minutes in his first game back from an ankle sprain. I'm in. 4,900 for Marv Williams. The upside is limited. The floor is low. I'm not going to get too much there. Ryan Anderson, 3,600 for Rhino. I think you got to put that in your GPP pool. If I'm submitting one lineup, he's not in it. But at 3,600, 35-point upside, he has to be a GPP guy to consider. At center, Dwight Howard, 8,800, has done historically well against Houston. Not necessarily a revenge game narrative, but he has done well. I like using him here at that salary. While Clint Capella at 7,400, look, killed it in that game against the Pelicans, but the minutes, and D'Antoni says his fitness is struggling, I will probably fade him at that sort of a salary. On DraftKings, Marvin Williams at 49, maybe you look at him as a tournament guy, same with Frank at 4,000, but there's a bunch of cash guys here. Howard at 76, Chrissy Paul at 84, love that. Jimmy Harden at 11,600, Jez Lamb at 54, and Clint Capella at 6,700. I think that he can be used over on DraftKings with a little bit more confidence than what you might have with him over on FanDuel. Let's go through the last remaining sites now. On Yahoo for tournaments, it's Jim Harden, who I do like a lot there. The Blue Arrow, Jamal Murray, Tyler Ulis, Fred VanVleet, DJ Augustine, Marquise Chris, Lance Stevenson. They're your tournament type guys. Then for cash, Etwan Moore, Chandler Parsons, Milosh, David Nwaba, Marvin Williams, Daniel Tice, Tyler Johnson, The Muppet, John Henson, Aaron Baines, Jinglin Joe, Kelly Olynyk, John Simmons, Jez Lamb, Miles Turner, Nick Vucevic, and Chrissy Paul. On Moneyball, tournaments, Boog, Kyrie, Don Mitchell, Paulie George, Eric Bledsoe, Jaylen Brown, Jonas Valanciunas, Milos, DJ Augustine, and for cash, was there anyone else for tournaments? No, that's it. For cash, Nwaba, Vanilla Tice, Aaron Baines, Rondo, Jimmy Johnson, John Simmons, Drew Holiday, Steve Adams, Jez Lamb, Nick Vucevic, Chris Paul, and Jim Harden. On Draft Stars for tournaments, Paulie George, Miles Turner, Lord Alfred, Steve-O Adams, Joshy Richardson, DJ Augustin, Joshy Jackson, Wes Awundu. And for cash, it's Tyler Ulis, Chandler Parsons, Milosh, Vanilla Tice, Bainesy, Jim Johnson, Jaylen Brown, Kelly Olynyk, Austin Rivers, Jez Lamb, Marc Gasol, Don Mitchell, Dwight Howard, Chrissy Paul, Jimmy Harden, and DeMarcus Boogie Cousins. Don't forget to check out our sponsor, and that is Draft. Go to draft.com and use the promo code LOFANTASY for your free entry into a cash game with your first deposit, and check out the Locked On Leagues there. Of course, check out LockedOnFantasyBasketball.com and BasketballMonster.com, and follow me on Twitter at RedRock_Beeble. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Josh Richardson.